Thank you for joining us for another great message from The Door. This week, local pastors Mark and Amber Swift continue our series on relationships with a great message on romantic relationships.
So he's going to let me go first. So basically, first I really want us, before we even start, I just really want us to focus on Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Because a lot of times when you talk about people's love stories or dating or something, it becomes like this topic that we focus on. But really, as Christians, we're called to seek first Jesus, and everything else the God promises that he'll take care of. So this is going to be a story of how a California girl and an Ohio boy met in Florida, fell in love, and then God planted in the deep south, which is here. So I wanted to, before we get started, I just wanted to share a couple of verses that were very pivotal in my life as a young Christian and a young adult. I guess I'm not a young adult anymore, huh?
Yeah, she is.
Okay. Isaiah 30, verse 20 says, whoops, I'm sorry, in 21, and your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it, when you turn to the right or when you turn to the left. And that is a promise the Lord gave me as a very young Christian, teenager, I didn't have to go searching and seeking and looking, that the Lord would just guide my steps, and that whether I needed to turn to the right or to the left, I would hear him saying, this is the way, keep walking in it. And so that's why it's so important to keep the Lord always before us. And then the next verse I wanted to share is Proverbs 4, verse 20. My son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Let them not escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and healing to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. And that is such an important reminder for us to really be in God's word, really on a daily basis, because that's really the only way that in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation and world that we're going to be able to have a pure heart, especially now. I mean, it's just getting worse and worse, and things that are evil are seen as good, and things that are good are seen as evil. And then last, I wanted to share, which is my life verse the Lord gave me when I was 14, Proverbs 3, 5 through 6, which we have all heard, and I have quoted this a million times, but the Lord has just been opening it up to me in a new way just this last couple of weeks. So trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. And how important is it for us to trust in the Lord and not lean on what we think is right or logical, but to just grab on to his promises and his word and to hold on and to trust him. And so I'm going to start. Let's keep God first and foremost. So this goes back to our story pretty much begins in a dark room. No. I'm joking. Okay, in a room, in my bedroom, actually, just me by myself. I was 14 years old, and I had been abandoned as a very young girl, so I dealt with a lot of abandonment issues, a lot of insecurities, just a lot of issues. And I remember sitting on my bed and crying and saying, Lord, how will any man ever love me? My real father wants nothing to do with me. I don't have the greatest relationship with my biological father. And the Lord said in Psalm 139, he said, Amber, I'm your dad. And I have been there since day one. And I will never leave you. And I will never forsake you. When your mother and father forsake you, I will pick you up. And so I gave God my entire life, my heart, and Peter's cry, where Jesus is saying, are you going to leave too, to Peter? And he says, where else would I go? Who else has the words of eternal life? That became my cry. And I wanted to worship Jesus. I wanted to serve him with everything I had. I would even do the dishwasher for Jesus. I would open that dishwasher and I'd say, I'm going to do this dishwasher for you, Lord. So then a couple of months later, I heard my pastor's wife talk about how she had prayed for her her future husband, which I'm sure a lot of you have heard that. And so I began very faithfully praying for my future husband that he would love the Lord, that he would be a follower of Jesus, that if he didn't know the Lord, that he would come to the Lord. And I kept a journal and I would just start praying and praying. And
she made my life a living hell. That year that she began praying, 14, 15 years old, fast forward for me, that would be I was about 18, 19 years old. And so I had been kicked out of my parents' house, dropped out of college, and I was addicted to drugs. And that was the pivotal year of my life. I found this out years later, hearing her story. I'm like, okay, so calculate that. That heavy year of praying for your future husband was the worst year of my life, because the Lord was breaking me, allowing me to become broken. And so her prayers were being heard from heaven, along of some others who were praying for me at the time. I'm an Atlanta boy. Well, I was born in Cleveland, but we moved down south when I was like 6 years old. So, in Atlanta, running around doing my thing there. And my that year was the year that, suicide was a tremendous thought in my mind at that time. Any way out, anything else but living and facing another day. And so God allowed me to be broken. And, I attribute that to her prayers, and also to actually when I went to high school in the Atlanta area there, there was a kitchen cook. Her name was Miss Oakley. Later, after high school, I would go back through a guy I used drugs with. He's like, hey, let's go to Miss Oakley's house. I'm like, the kitchen cooks? What do you want to do there? She's like, she'll feed us. I'm like, all right, cool. Let's go eat. And we would go there to just eat and munch, you know, that kind of thing. And she is the one that gave me the gospel, shared with me the gospel, and led me to Jesus Christ at a certain point around the age of 19 or so. And so that year that she was praying so intently, began praying, was the worst year of my life. But I thank God for that, so thank you again for praying for me. And Miss Oakley and another lady named Wanda, who also was a kitchen lady at my old high school. God uses the most peculiar people to pray for you, and you just never know who God's going to use, but I thank God for that. Am I supposed to share more?
Okay, your turn. Okay, my turn. This is interesting. We're both like leaders, so it's always fun to lead together. Anyways. Okay, so then the Lord started growing me up and maturing me, and I definitely was like a lot of young girls. I was very much a romanticist. I would walk around singing my head in the clouds and stuff. And but the Lord really started teaching me to fall in love, to fall in love with Him, and to love Him first and foremost. And I did. I did have a couple of relationships. One in particular, I actually was engaged for one day, and I woke up knowing that it was the worst thing that I could ever do. And the Lord really used that to break me, because I kind of had set marriage like here, like if I was only married, then all my life would be perfect, you know, then everything would be wonderful and you know, and glorious. And so the Lord used that to show me that I would rather be single and serve the Lord than be married to the wrong person, because that would have been miserable. And so the Lord took me away from everybody I knew for 6 months to just get away with Him. And I just started really reading the Word of God even more. I've always, honestly, I came from a family where my parents every morning, the first thing I would see them do is have a cup of coffee in their Bible. And so I learned from around 8, 9 how important it is to spend time with the Lord every day. So if that is not something that's a part of your schedule, I would encourage you to, you know, if we have time to look at our cell phones and look at Facebook, then we have time to spend with the Lord. And so I would encourage you to mark it off on your calendar and get alone with the Lord every single day, because he is the one that loves you more than anybody else, and he's the one that's going to guide your path and direct your steps. So I really started serving the Lord even more through, I would lead worship and teach little Bible studies and stuff. And when I was 19 years old, I was dating a boy, a young man. Sorry, I'm getting so old. Everybody under and below me. Okay, I was dating a young man, and a friend of his came from Bible college to visit.
That was me, many moons ago. And this guy, my good friend. Actually, where's the dude Adam? Where's Adam at? There he is. So yeah, Highway 98, Pensacola, Florida. This guy tells me about Jesus, that Jesus is God. And later on, God sent me to Bible college because I realized that I needed to learn. This is really the true motivation of why I went to Bible college. How to treat women. Isn't that crazy? Like, who goes to Bible college for that reason? Well, this guy did. So the Lord cut off a relationship, a sinful relationship that I was in Florida. And a couple months after that, said, you need to go to Bible college out in California to learn how to treat women. And literally, that's why I went to Bible college. And the Lord began to teach me how to respect and love women, God's daughters. God's daughters. For all you men, I'll say it one more time. God's daughters. That's right. God's daughters. My sisters. You know, God began to teach me how to treat them and respect them and honor them as God's daughters, as my sisters in the Lord. I had lost that. You know, I grew up in a good home. I just took my own detour at age 13. Is when I made some decisions that took me down the wrong path and led to my addiction. But through a rehab and then moving to Florida, meeting Marcus, finding out I was in a sinful relationship as a Christian, God says, go to Bible college, learn how to treat women. And he did. He began to teach me how to treat females, you know, like how to look at them as God's kids, you know, and not as whatever you might think they might be. And so the Lord began to do that work in me. And, of course, I, you know, asked the Lord, like, okay, so can I, like, hang out with chicks? You know, can I, you know, date chicks? Can I, you know, do what I want with chicks? And you won't believe this, but, like, the first week of Bible college, the president of the Bible college gets up there and says, it's kind of like the introduction to Bible college, about 400 students at a big old Bible college up in the mountains. It was awesome. It was a great experience. I loved it. But he said this, and I never forgot it. He says, and guys, you know, don't think, oh, I'm going to take her up on the mountainside and read the book of Psalms with her. You know, I was like, whoa, did he just say that? I'm like, why did he say that? And the Lord was touching my heart, and he's like, you don't mess around with girls. You don't mess around with God's daughters. You know, in a world of porn, you know, this goes for all of us, male and female. You know, because of the world of porn and the world of internet today, I mean, now I'm talking about 1996, I think it was, when that leader said that from the pulpit. So now fast forward, you know, it's a real issue, male and female. And we've got to realize that that guy is God's son. That gal is God's daughter. And so God taught me respect women. And the way to respect women is to respect me and honor me, you know. And he began to teach me about that. And then he also taught me about what a godly girl looks like. That was another huge lesson. He's like, that girl you were seeing before, that was not what a godly girl looks like. That was a girl in church who said she was a Christian, but didn't want to do anything, the things of God. And so I began to learn that. And so God taught me about a godly woman, what that would look like biblically. Read Proverbs, study Proverbs 31, ladies, and see a godly woman. Follow the life of Ruth. Go study Ruth and Naomi. Look at these women and see what godly women look like. Guys, look at the scriptures. Look at King David. Look at what to do and what not to do, right? Yeah. So it's all in there. I mean, every aspect of your life is in there. And so God showed me what a godly woman would look like. And then one day, I met her.
So we met at Calvary Chapel, Gulf Breeze in Florida. And I met him one time, and the Lord really laid just that I needed to be praying for him. Honestly, I was not interested in him. I was just praying for him. And so I sent him. That sounds so bad.
She is now.
Sorry. That's funny. So I wrote him a card, and on it the Lord gave me this passage, and this is what it says, Colossians 1, 9 through 11. And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And I wrote that prayer on a card, and I just sent it to him to Bible college. And honestly, I still pray this almost every day for him. So for those of you who are married, I highly recommend praying this for your spouse, for your children. Pray this for yourself. Pray this for your future spouse. It's just such a great guideline. So Mark came back from Bible college and became our youth pastor, not my youth pastor, but our church's youth pastor. He one thing that always stood out to me was that he always treated me like a prize. And when I say that, I mean this, is that a lot of other young adults in our church kind of made fun of me because I had never, like, walked away from the Lord and lived a really wild life and came back. They would look down on me, and he always treated me like a treasure. He would open the doors for me. I mean, that's almost unheard of a lot of times these days, but he still does. He would open the doors for me. He always just treated me like a prize. And so... This is where it gets a little silly. He would try to flirt with me, and I never understood flirting, so I didn't respond. So he went for the girl he knew liked him. And so he courted this girl. And when I say courting, the difference between courting and dating is that when you court, you hang out in groups. It's safe. You don't go into dark places by yourself, just the two of you. Yeah, it's, you know, he courted her, and we are firm believers in courting because it's, for one, it protects you. Two, you get to see what the person's really like. Because when you go on a date, what do? You look perfect, right? I act perfect. I look perfect. I don't do anything that's imperfect and stuff. You know, I'll have a salad, even though you really want a hamburger. You know, you just... You know what I mean? But it's just, that's the difference. And then, that's when I almost got married. And so we both grew up a lot. So we actually met when I was 18, 19. He was 21. So we actually met, but we had a lot of growing up to do. We had to grow up in the Lord, and we just needed to grow up. And stuff, and also go through some hard lessons that were humbling too.
Going back to meeting her. When I met her, I was on vacation from Bible college at Christmas. My friend introduced me to him, and I'll just tell you what I thought in my head. What is she doing with him? She needs to be with me. That is absolutely what I thought in my head. Now, I went back to Bible college. Now, you got to keep in mind, I'm like fresh off drugs, about 6 months, a year. So I'm a little bit hazy, a little bit kind of weird.
Not a little bit weird.
Hey, whoa. Weird. Slow down. No. No. I don't even look the same.
No, he's like a different person now.
I would never wear a shirt like this. Yeah. Or a belt, for that matter. Seriously, I wouldn't. But anyway, long hair hippie kind of guy, you know, and just dirty. I didn't shower much. Didn't, you know, bad stuff. So anyway, I thought, she ought to be with me. And I go back to Bible college, and I forgot all about her. No, I'm sorry about that. But I did. And all of a sudden, I got that card she talked about in the mail, and I'm like, I got a card? You know, wow. I never get cards. And I open this card, I'm like, reading, I'm like, I'm praying for you, and Colossians 1, which is a great prayer, and I love it still to this day. And then I'm like, I couldn't really read it very well. She got bubbly handwriting. I'm like, is that say Amber? I'm like, who is Amber? I don't even remember Amber. So God just wanted me to know I was being prayed for by some chick in Florida, and which I thought was cool, but I don't, you know, so I lost the card, forgot all about it, moved on with life. God continued to teach me about how to treat women. Meanwhile, of course, at Bible college, I learned the Bible. I was taught the Bible, and I grew in my understanding of Scripture, and therefore I grew an understanding of God's character and how God would treat a female and how I ought to be treated too, you know, because, yeah, even as a heathen guy, yeah, I was mistreated by females, and there's stories about that too. So it's both sides of the coin. You guys know what I'm saying, right? And so God taught me some things, and then I was talking to one of my good friends, Jeff. He grew up in a church. He was a pastor's kid, but he went off deep end like I did, and he was into drugs and all that. I met him at Bible college, and then he started courting this chick, and she was a great girl. Don't throw me off. She's a great gal, a good friend of mine named Laura, and his name's Jeff. And they started courting, and like she said, that's just basically just dating, but in a crowd, so you're not alone, and also you're going at it with the idea of, I want to get to know this person, and the best way to get to know somebody is hang out with them in a crowd, and watch them. I've learned some things about some of you already tonight by watching you. Yeah, we got a couple dancers up here, you know. We got a couple of dudes that just stare at the screen, you know. Some of you worship in a different way than I do, you know. You know what I'm saying? And that's okay. But anyway, moving on. That's a different tangent. But just worship God, you know. Here's the thing. So we're talking, and he's like, yeah, man, I'm not going to kiss her to the altar. And I'm like, you're crazy. You're absolutely nuts. And I told him this to his face. I'm like, are you serious? He's like, well, dude, you know what's going to happen if I kiss her, right? And I'm like, oh, good point. Solid point. Because automatically I was like, kiss, bam. Like, yeah, okay, I see where that goes. And it hit me with a ton of bricks. I'm like, wow, yeah, one thing leads to another. And we can fight that and argue that all day long. And I was really good at it for a long time, like, trying to, like, convince God that, you know, messing around would be all right as long as you didn't have sex, you know what I'm saying? And God's like, no, that's my daughter. And I was like, whoa, and ready for this one? So then I'm interested in a girl, right? She knows. And, you know, I'm thinking about this or whatever. So I'm thinking about, you know, what would happen if she actually would want to hang out with me, you know. It's weird that, you know, an ex-drug addict who has had sex before, you know, is thinking these kind of, like, pure thoughts. So it's really foreign to me. It's really weird to think this way. Like, so if she actually, you know, wants to hang out with me, what would we do, you know? Talk. What else, you know? And so I'm thinking about this sort of thing, and I'm like, wow, this is really a different lifestyle to be pure. And then I thought, well, what if I kissed her? And you know what God said to me? What God showed me was, if that's not your wife, then you're kissing another man's wife. I was like, whoa. I was like, well, that's trippy. Now, what if somebody's kissing this other girl and she's supposed to be my wife? That dude's kissing my wife. I'm like, okay. Now, I did do a lot of LSD, so I do think through things like this. And I was like, I thought about that. I'm like, whoa, someone might be kissing my wife, touching my wife. I started getting a little bit upset about it. And so, believe it or not, God said, you know, you need to only kiss your wife. And so I grabbed my buddy Jeff's thought, an idea of kissing at the altar. So God began to do work with me, and that means like real true purity.
So fast forward to 1999, and Mark and I started spending a lot of time together with my family. He met my family through my brother, who's half black. He came into our house expecting a black family, and it wasn't. So he met us through my brother. And we would play tennis and hang out and stuff. And I remember telling my mom, I said, Mom, when Mark gets married, I'm going to lose my best friend. And because what had happened was is that he became like the person I wanted to be with. And we weren't dating or anything. We were just doing ministry together. We were both leaders at a young adult thing. Very similar to this, young adult gathering. I would help with the youth group. He was a youth pastor. We just did a lot of ministry together, and then we would play tennis together, and he'd hang out at my parents' house and tease me, of course, because that's what he loves to do. And so I told my mom, I was like, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to lose my best friend. And so that was in October of 1999. Mark took, unbeknownst to me, Mark took the entire month of November, and December it ended up being, because November and December to just pray and ask the Lord if he was to talk to me. And all this time we were just spending a lot of time together in group settings and stuff. And on December 30th, 1999, my parents needed half and half. We're all avid. We love coffee, like love coffee. And Mark's like, we'll go get it. So we went for a little drive, and he turned down the radio, and my heart was like pounding. I was like, oh my gosh, I don't know. I was just like, oh. And he said, Amber, and this is just very logical and always has like a thought out plan. So it's not romantic, so to speak. You know, girls were like, oh, we want all this. But it was very just, Amber, we can be friends that hang out once in a while, or we can be friends heading towards marriage, and I don't want the first option. And I said, me neither. And he's like, great. And he turned the music back up and started going. So then a couple days later, after we had done an all-night youth rally thing for New Year's Eve, I was like, what does that mean? And he said, well, we just keep hanging out and spending time together and getting to know each other, just basically doing what we're already doing. And so he had talked to me on December 30th, January 30th, 1 month later. We went for a walk. Actually, that morning, he had given me a bubblegum ring to, like, kind of give me a hint, but I don't catch on to hints. And so then we went for a walk in a courtyard, and there was some roses. And I was like, oh, look, there's roses. I really don't catch on to things, okay? I don't. And he goes, they're for you. And there were three of them. And he goes, do you know what they mean? And I'm like, Father, Son, Holy Spirit? I don't know. And he said, I'm a little bit ditzy sometimes. He said, it's you, me, and Jesus. I'm like, oh, that's sweet. I was totally not catching on. And he kept saying all these really sweet things about all the qualities he had always looked for in a wife, how he wanted her to be his best friend, how he had always written these poems about his future wife being like a purity and a jewel of purity, and my name means purity. And just all these really sweet things. And I was just saying, oh, you're so sweet. And then he turned to me and he said, Amber, I want you to be my friend forever. Will you be my bride? And I jumped back and screamed. Yeah. And I said, yes. But then in total Mark fashion, we went and sat down and laid out the guidelines. He said, Amber, we can hold hands and we can hug, but not too long. And he said, but I really want our first kiss to be our wedding kiss. And you know what? That had always been my heart's desire. But the reality is that a man is a leader. And if, as girls, if we're not with a man who is going to lead us in purity and lead us in godliness and lead us to the Lord, we will be led a different way. And so I had always wanted that. And I was so excited. And it was funny too, because so he was a youth pastor of this huge youth group. And so he told all of the kids that we weren't kissing until our wedding kiss. And so I was like, really? That's embarrassing. But but everybody knew, and we were part of a very, very large church, and so everybody knew. Our pastor knew. I mean, everybody knew. So when he'd look at me and say, I really want to kiss you, I'm like, sorry, we're not going to go repent to a bunch of junior hires, you know? You know? So on January 30th, we were engaged, and May 6th, we were married, and our first kiss was our wedding kiss. And on July 19th, we found out we were pregnant. With number one,
and now we have 5 children. Yes. Amen? That's right. Marriage is good. But yeah, so I did want to say a few things there. Did you want to share that? Yeah, I'll get to that. But I wanted to backpedal just a moment, and she mentioned a few things about how we serve together. And the proverb I wanted to share with you guys is Proverbs 18, verse 22. And the girls might read this and go, oh, that's for the guys. No, it's for the girls and the guys. Proverbs 18, 22. He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. So I found her, and now I got favor from the Lord even more than I had before, which is awesome. But it's something I want to teach you guys about this verse, and guys and gals can both learn from this. But when you find something, there could be more, but basically there's 2 ways that you can find something. The first way is, you know, most of us have all lost our keys, right? Like, oh man, where are my keys? You know, so you hunt out, you go out, and you hunt, and you look, and you search to find your keys. Ah, here's my keys. I got my keys. That's one way you can find something. But another way in the Hebrew here that you can find something is to obtain it by just finding it. So, for example, let's say you leave here tonight. One of you lucky guys leave here tonight, and you walk outside, and you're walking down the sidewalk, and you're just chilling, walking down, and all of a sudden you find a $20 bill. And you're like, oh, sweet, yes, Starbucks, awesome. You know, so you grab that $20, you found it. You found it alongside of your path. It's not something you searched out, you sought out to go and find. It's something you found alongside of you, okay? And so what God taught me in Bible college and then carried this out through the rest of my life till I found her, was serve Jesus with all my heart. Just serve God with all my guts. You know, just give him everything I am, everything I have, and then find her alongside. And if I'm doing that, what do you think she's going to be doing? She's going to be doing the same thing. And that's how we found each other. So he who finds a wife finds a good thing. Now, the only way he's going to find you, ladies, is if you're serving the Lord. And men, the only way you're going to find her is if you're serving the Lord. So seek him first. And she'll tell you that there was times where I'm doing ministry, a couple hundred youth in my youth group, this kind of thing going on, different events, things are happening. She'd come by and say hi. I'm like, hey, how you doing? I'll talk to you later. Boom. And I'm like, focus.
You would completely ignore me.
Sorry about that. Will you forgive me? Okay, good. So that's true. But it was because I wanted Jesus to be first in my life. You know, and if God wanted to bless me with a bride, then that's up to him. But I need to be seeking his face. And so when she came along, you know, her brother, you know, like she said, I walked into this all-white house. I'm thinking, whoa, what's going on here? And I found out the story of that, which is a God story in itself. It's another story. But began hanging out, like she said, and just moving forward. And one day we were playing tennis with a bunch of people, like we talked about, do everything with other people. And I'm giving these blockheads a ride home, right? These dudes, friends of mine, that, you know, I like them. They're nice guys. But we're driving, and all of a sudden, like, yeah, I talked to Amber. And I'm like, oh, yeah. Oh, really? And the other guy's, yeah, I did too. And I got her number, actually, right here. I'm like, I'm thinking, well, I already called her. I've been to their house. I know their mom. I know her mom and dad better than you do. You know, that's what I'm thinking. And it just hit me. And I was like, whoa, there's something more to this relationship. I care for her more. I was actually getting a little bit upset. Like, don't you dare say something about, you know, off about this. Because I slammed the brakes and probably get in the flesh and all that. But they didn't. They were cordial and they were nice about it. But just it showed me that I had more deeper intention with her. And that's when she talked about me praying. I took a month for sure. All November was like, you know, don't even move forward in your romantic brain here or relationship brain without God's yes. And then that happened. God confirmed that I can move forward with that. And so she shared about talking and whatnot. And there was a time where we said, you know what, let's take a week to seek the Lord.
Yeah, that was during our engagement period. Yeah. And during that week, the Lord gave Mark a verse that kind of defines our relationship. And it's Psalm 27:14, and it says, wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. And that picture of waiting is that as you're waiting on the Lord, that he's going to strengthen your heart in the way that he wants it to go. And we actually have it engraved on the inside of our wedding rings because we didn't realize how applicable that was going to be for our entire marriage. We've had done a lot of waiting. But in all seriousness, it is so important to look at your time of singleness as a time of really waiting on the Lord, not waiting on the Lord for your spouse, waiting on the Lord to be married, but really waiting on the Lord, using your time when it's just you and Jesus to just serve. I mean, it's such an amazing time. You can do things that marriage is wonderful, and I love being married, but there, in all reality, there are things that you can do when you're single that you can't do when you're married. You know, right now we have 5 children. Our oldest is going to be 16 tomorrow, and our youngest is 7, and I really cannot go to I can't go on a lot of mission trips right now because we don't have somebody to take care of our children. I do other things, but all that to say is just that use your time when it's just you and the Lord just to serve him, to really just wait on him and let him strengthen your heart in the way that he wants you to go.
Absolutely, and that's our exhortation to you guys tonight. In your singleness, serve the Lord with all your heart. In your singleness, serve the Lord with all your heart. If you're married here, serve the Lord with all your heart, and then your spouse second. You know, not ministry, not work, not children, not, you know, materialism, not vacations, anything like that, but serve the Lord with all your heart, and then serve your spouse second if you are married here, and make that, you know, the primary thing of your life. It's God first, and then your spouse, and then children, and then work, and so on and so forth. And of course, go to church, you know, get plugged in somewhere and study the Bible. But we just want you guys to be encouraged tonight, and we're not an anti-dating or pro-court, you know, that kind of thing. We're not going to come out here and lay out some laws. We just wanted to share our story. That's our story. And we encourage courting because we believe in it. We think that's a great way to go. I think all of you have been on a date where you, like, you know, you just put on the best show you did your whole life. You're like, I was on tonight, you know. And, you know, the way I feel about that is, you know, just be yourself. If you can't be yourself around the person, strong indication, not a good idea, you know. So if you can get around somebody in a group settings, and even if you can get into their homes with their families and hang out and have dinner with their families, see how they interact with their parents and their siblings or the dog even, you know, how they treat a cat. You'll learn a lot about people, really. Like, you know, Amber found out I'm a cat hater. But she married me anyway. I'm a dog lover, though. Go dogs. Bulldogs, too, right? But anyway, so that's our encouragement to you guys. And, you know, we pray that something in the story would encourage you, strengthen you in your walk. And, you know, here's one other thing I would like to share. If the Lord has said no in one relationship, and maybe the Lord's trying to tell you no right now and you're fighting it, you know, but Lord, he or she, you know, but you, deep down inside, you know the Lord's saying, cut it off. I'm going to tell you right now, cut it off. Cut that relationship off. Just run. Run to Jesus. And even if it's two Christians and it's kind of, but you know God's saying, no, just stop, because you're going to ruin yourself or the other person or both. And not only that, here's the coolest thing I learned. If God says no to one chick or one dude, the one he has for you is way better. Amen. As we were praying, and the brother asked me if I'm going back up, I was like, no. But then the Lord just wanted me to encourage you guys or share this, that we talk about personal relationship with Jesus, right? Y'all learn about that, right? You have a relationship with Jesus. Just let the Lord convict you. Our story is our story. And however that impacts you, we pray God will use that for his glory. But you pray, you seek God. But the word that I want to share with you is purity. Purity. Be pure, you know. And that's in all aspects of our lives. Purity. You know, Lord, help me to remain pure. Help me to be pure. Help me to treat people purely. You know, that's God is pure, right? God is love. God is purity. God is perfection. And so I want to encourage you guys to just ask God for his conviction in your life. You know, God, how do you want me to go about this? Lord, I've heard this story. You know, how does this apply in my life personally? God, is there anything here I can glean for my walk with you, Lord? You know, make it personal, you and God doing your thing together. And he'll show you. Amber and I are available. And anytime y'all want to talk to us, we'd love to talk with y'all, anybody. And, you know, we love you guys. Thank you for having us. And God can empower you to do what you think is seemingly impossible. God can empower you. And I'm living proof of that. And I just want to encourage you guys with that. So thanks a lot. Amen. All right.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you for listening. We hope that you enjoyed this week's message. For more information about The Door and Take the City, please visit us at www.takethecity.com. Have a blessed week.